Get some water. We'll be ready to go. Be here for a couple hours. My back's hurting. I'm going to make you guys suffer. Okay, 1 hour. Mr. Setting said I could take an hour and a half. No, he didn't. He said don't go over 12 minutes or you're fired. Anyhow, happy Sabbath, brethren. So I went on a little work / vacation over the summer back to Tulsa, and I drove with a friend of mine back to Tennessee. We painted his sister's house. And on the way, I flew from LA, direct to Tulsa. And sitting next to me before we took off, there was a guy sitting next to me, and I noticed he had a book. I didn't realize it was a Bible. And then he had some kind of blue and white scarf or something with a Jewish star, and he put it over him, and he's praying and stuff, and he didn't like to fly, but anyhow, and I thought, is he Jewish? I couldn't put my head around it. So we got up in the air and we started talking, and this guy was on fire for the truth. He didn't know all of the truth. I did bring up the Sabbath and stuff, but it was in a quiet tone all the way there for, I don't know, it was 2.5-3 hours. We were like this. And then on the way back, he was on the same flight, so same thing happened. And I felt bad there because I'm thinking, man, I hope we're not too, we're getting so excited. I hope people aren't, getting too much Bible on their trip. And if they did, they did, whatever. But I was trying to be conscious of that. But on the way back, we got to talking, and I knew that he knew a lot. I was really shocked. He just got back, to studying the Bible and going to church. He goes to a Sunday Pentecostal church, I think. But he was on fire, and, I appreciated that in him. And he knew a lot of things in the Bible. One thing he got to talking about, because he was out in the world and he was trying to get right with God, was somewhere or another, we got on the topic of eunuchs. And it's like, it's rare that people bring up eunuchs. So it's like, he wanted to talk with eunuchs. Okay, let's talk about eunuchs and see what he has. And it was fascinating what I learned about eunuchs. We always think about them, and it's sort of, in our mind and out of our mind. We don't really understand their, we understand their purpose in a sense, but we don't really grasp what they do as far as God's overall picture. Now, eunuchs, I did a little research on ChatGPT, GTP or whatever it is, and it says that eunuchs were common in many ancient societies in China, the Byzantine Empire, Ottoman Empire. They were often used as palace officials and administrators or guards of royal harems, trusted servants, because they were seen less likely. Now, this is especially for the kings. They would have them because they were less likely to overthrow the king's position. And if they don't have a way to procreate, they're not going to have a legacy or children, to vie for the throne. Sort of similar, sort of like a cupbearer kind of thing, a servant to the king. Some of the physical attributes, and we've seen this with people that in our society in the music realm, and some of these opera singers will get castrated, these young men, when they're boys, and to keep their voices high and so forth. Now it's considered illegal, though. So, like I said, eunuchs served in the royal courts as often trusted officials. And Elijah, back in the Bible, had challenged and defeated the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, proving that Yahweh was the true God. So this is in reference to 2 Kings 9, 30 through 37. I won't read it all, but just a little rundown of what happened there. So Jezebel was the queen. She was a wicked queen. And when Jehu, this is Kings, 2 Kings 9:30. Now when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she put pain on her eyes. She got all pretty and adorned her head and looked through a window. Then Jehu entered the gate, and she said, "Is it peace, Zimri, murderer of your master?" Then he looked up at the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" So two or three of the eunuchs looked out at him down on the ground. And when he down on the ground said to throw Jezebel to the ground, the eunuchs did that. So they were supposed to be faithful to Jezebel, but in the end, they were really faithful to God and did what God commanded. So then we have to wonder, you know, were they planted there for a specific purpose? You know, possibly. And then in Jeremiah 38 and 39, I won't read the whole thing. You can read those chapters. It talks about Ebed-Melech, an Ethiopian eunuch who saved Jeremiah. And under the Mosaic law, in Deuteronomy 23:1, it states that castration excludes castrated men from the assembly of the Lord. So that it was a little frowned upon. But however, this exclusion is reversed prophetically in the New Testament. In Isaiah 56:3-5, God promises eunuchs who follow God a name better than sons and daughters. So we know that in the Bible, if you can be a eunuch and serve in that capacity, that God will put favor on you. And I've seen, there's several people in our church, different churches of God, and to me, like some friends of mine, they've never been married, never had kids or anything, and to me, they're spiritual eunuchs. You know, they don't go out and marry outside the church or anything like that. A lot of times in Scripture, they're symbolized as outsiders, and they have a faithfulness, but they don't have a legacy because of the point of not being able to reproduce after themselves. They were often used as palace officials or ministers, guards of royal harems, trusted servants, because they were seen less likely to form rival family lines or threaten rulers. And then in Mordecai, this was interesting too. So we all know the book of Esther and what happened with Haman, who was the Agagite from the king Agag, who was an Amalekite, trying to take out all the Israelites back then. But so when the king was up reading at night, and found that the two people had saved his life from the overthrow by these two people that were trying to assassinate him. Come to find out, the reason he was so furious is they were two of his eunuchs. You know, his own trusted people were trying to overthrow him, and that's when Mordecai found out and went to Esther, and she told the king, and then we all know what happened after that. And then in Acts 8:27-39, there was a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. He had a charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake his chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" He asked Philip to come up and sit with him, and the place in Scripture where it's read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life will be taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at this scripture, preaching Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. So he got baptized. And then Isaiah 56, 4 through 6, the eunuch who follows God. And it says here in verse 4, for thus saith the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of the sons of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And then one more place in the Bible I found interesting about the eunuchs was in Daniel 1:7. The eunuch there, I don't know if it was one or if it was more than one. I think it was possibly just one. He gave the name of Daniel to Belshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, and Mishael to Meshach, and Ezrael to Abednego. So he's the one that changed them and gave them Babylonian names. So anyhow, I just thought there would be an interesting little study on eunuchs and how important they are in the Bible and how God uses them and how they're blessed.